Hey guys, welcome back. We are back. Detour. Sorry we didn't do a show last night. Logistics, the train ride from Sydney to the Gong, delayed, planes delayed. If you'd had too many cans, just standard. But we're back, and what
I
dropped
it. I had to go to a fax in Sydney. Walked in, and I had the people go and crook me, say, look, we're only late here. We're waiting for the podcast. I thought, oh, sorry about that. But yes, and we've got a special guest.
Regular.
Stan's my name. Yeah.
He's back.
Yeah. This is Stan, your biggest fan. Scott McGrory, of course, Olympic champion, and he's also presenter for the Worlds with Stan, and they're doing it through Channel 9 as well, aren't they, Scooter?
Yeah, well, so Stan is owned by Channel 9. Through the week, it's all been on Stan Sport. And this weekend, we crossed, got taken up by Wild Water Sport on Channel 9 as well for the last couple of hours today. Same for the men's tomorrow. I think it's the final 3 hours on the free-to-air platform of Channel 9, but every single pedal stroke on Stan Sport.
Yeah, and what a day of racing. I mean, Iffy and I on the last show, we butted heads. Yeah, Annemiek, I was saying she shouldn't have done the mixed team time trial. She's potentially not going to ride the Worlds. Now, if you spoke to one of the doctors or whatever who gave a bit of insight into her injury.
Yeah, well, that's actually one of my mates who spoke to the doctor who was looking after her, and I said, how much pain is she in? He said, oh, well, anyone else probably wouldn't be starting. Not probably, he said, anyone else wouldn't be starting, but Annemiek, she'll be fine.
She'll be fine. No worries. Here's the results. It was just phenomenal. And then yeah, with 2 laps to go, you looked at the course and you thought, well, given that she is injured, you know, it did sort of shake the race up where everyone was looking at each other thinking, who's going to make the attacks? Who's going to be on the aggressive? Who's going to do something? And then the Aussies had a crack. I think Sarah Roy went off the front. Spratty was in there, Scooter having a crack. And then when it all came together, it was like, all right, what's going to happen now? And then I don't think anyone would have predicted that, Scooter.
No,
absolutely not, mate. That was, look, I just said to John, look, that was the best ride in the Women's Elite World Road Championships since her last best ever ride at the Women's World Championships when she spent over 100Ks off
Yorkshire.
The front. Amazing. Truly amazing performance. We all know the background of it and the crash and the elbow on which she wouldn't ride or not. Then Demi Vollering, the other, you know, leader of the Dutch team, she didn't start because she contracted COVID. Marianne Vos, the goat of women's cycling, didn't quite have it to get over the climb with them the last time, and it looked like that's it. The super strong Dutch, they're going to capitulate. And then out of nowhere, someone that can't really sprint, that had a broken elbow, that was hanging on the back for grim life, pops off the front and wins the gold medal. Just an amazing performance.
I think she's taken over the goat, mate. I think she is
the
goat.
You reckon she's the goat?
I reckon she's the goat. But the interesting story, seriously, two to go, you could see Annemiek was in trouble on the climb. So when they all split on the bell on that last lap, you know, she was a fair bit back. And the story right at that stage, which would have been one of the big stories, is the end of the reign of the Dutch at the Women's World Title. They've just dominated the race, not just with wins, but with the way the team has been, you know, in control. And it was first time they weren't in control. They were struggling. So is this the end of the reign of the Dutch? Well, no.
Well, it did rain a lot, that's for sure. The heavens opened up, and the Dutch rained on the parade of everyone else.
I tell you, before we go to anything in depth, right? So,
you are.
I was just going to say, this is a big, you know, the World Championships, of course, everywhere it goes, it's a showcase for that area. And today was the first big test as far as just selling the beauty of this region to the world. And they were so lucky. I mean, it did rain quite a bit towards the end and it was dangerous and all that. But at the start, when they left from Helensburgh and come down over that amazing sea bridge, sun was out, sun was shining. It just looked absolutely amazing.
And despite that, at the very end, so when we were closing the show, then they had the helicopter was out over the ocean and just shooting back towards Wollongong, and then with Mount Keira in the background, and the sun was setting over Mount Keira and the clouds were starting to disperse and the sun was shining through the clouds, and it was amazing. It seriously was postcard kind of stuff. So it ended up finishing really
And with this huge rainbow, it just appears. So come and think about that.
I took a photo of that.
That was just a rainbow.
You've got to give UCI credit for arranging. Rainbows, UCI arranged that rainbow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Wow. No, I'm just trying to bring up the photo of it now. I definitely took a photo of it, but just give me a couple of seconds, lads. But after the finish, because of the dramas of the Olympics, and it, with the, you know, the radios, and they don't have radios at the Worlds, she didn't know that she'd won. So she was shocked. So she was saying, no, hang on, I won. So I was just standing there on the fence, just getting all the vision of it. And you can see her teammates coming, going, yeah, no, you won. Yeah, no, I won. I won it. I won it.
Yeah. Isn't that great? Yeah. Well, exactly as you mentioned, mate, it's exactly the same at the last Olympics where, you know, she thought she'd won with one girl up the road. So, wonderful yarn.
I said, yeah. Dan, I said in the coverage at the end, the guys are going to have to step up. Mate. The pressure's on now because we've seen amazing races yesterday with the under-19 boys. The under-19 women today, Zoe Backstead's an amazing performance, solo for virtually the entire race. The under-23 race, that was a cracker. Now we've had this, you know, what Anna Meek and everyone's been able to do in the women's race. The bikes are going to have to really step up and do something special to match what we've already seen this week.
Oh, it's phenomenal. And this is the photo I was talking about. There's the rainbow over Wollongong. It was all set up, as you said. But from a...
Well, he's got one too, but he likes it because he's in it.
Yeah, it's just on the set of the
Yeah, perfect. I've got a couple of live comments. Peter Volker, I think you meant to say, Anamika is phenomenal. Why did everyone just watch her take off? Surely with 800 metres to go, there'll be no room to make up a break.
That's interesting, Scotty. I'll get you to put your 2 pence in a second. We're back.
You there?
Yeah.
We had a problem with the Wi-Fi.
It dropped out. I think it might have been ours that dropped out.
No, I think it was ours as well because we're both on the same Wi-Fi at the hotel. So.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, we're back.
Different floors.
So the Italians, they stuffed up for sure. But actually, one of them went to go underneath and I saw, and then they moved out and she sort of backed out. I don't even notice that. Right as you saw Annemiek go up the other side. But there was definitely that. You only need a fraction of a second when you're talking 450 metres to go, wherever it was. And they just stalled, you know.
I'd like to look at it, John. I'd like to look again, you know, obviously in the way it all works with the telly stuff. You don't get to be able to really go back and scrutinise it for very long. The one when that was all together, the rider that had the world title to lose was Lotte Kopecky because she was the fastest sprinter in that group. Now, she was there on her own for Belgium, but I'd like to see where she was in the group as Annemiek attacked, because if she was boxed in, then, you know, that could have been the reason that Annemiek went on. Because Lotte, you know, you would think, okay, fastest sprinter here, you have to react instantly as soon as you see someone attack to just try and shut it down, because you let it go up the road, no one's going to chase it down, and that's exactly what happened. So I do want to have an aerial shot, have another look at it, and just see where Lotta was when Annemiek attacked.
Now, a lot of talk as well is the conditions. Like the Mount Pleasant climb, they've said when it's wet, they're even worried about cars going down it. How the last two laps, especially given the conditions, how do you think that affected things as well?
No crashes. So that's fine. And no one, it's interesting because we saw Zoe Backstead in the under-19s race. She actually rode away on the descent earlier in the day and then went for the next 57 kilometres to win. But in the women, when it all split up at the end, the five riders that went away the last two times, there were little gaps in between them, but no one really got dropped and no one crashed. So it was fine. I think they all had the great skills and skills were good enough to get around and keep it all together.
It's a type of descent that no one's going to take a lot of time out of someone else. But when it's wet like that, it just brings it even closer together because everyone's a bit shy on the corners. It was interesting watching the different techniques. Some of them really whack that other leg out and lay it down. Others, you see them backing off. But, as it turned out, we were really lucky. And it just... You know, it's great to see because I reckon the girls are getting better and better at handling. They cop a little bit of flack, normally from guys talking about their ability to handle a bike, but that's changed so much. They're great bike handlers. They're professionals.
Yeah, and it's an outdoor sport, right? So at this level, you would expect them to have reasonable skills, and, you know, I think they proved that today. So good on them.
Yeah. Here's the video of Annemiek after the finish of her amazing
thing. I think, like, I need to attack from behind. That's the only chance I have. And I was waiting and waiting until they come with the sprint over me, but they didn't catch me. And just was the domestique today with a broken elbow, and now I'm world champion.
Just a domestique today, which she was. You saw her just riding for Voss, the former
with a broken elbow,
with a broken elbow up the climb, and then. Oh, well, isn't that wonderful?
In the saddle all day too, by the way. So you imagine, you know what it's like to stay in the seat all day and not be able to get out and stretch your legs. Okay, she probably got out of the saddle a couple of times to stretch her legs, but in real points where she needed to accelerate out of corners anywhere through the race, she was doing it all seated. So it actually cost her a lot more energy by having to be seated all the way through the race.
And harder for her too, because she is a person who gets off the seat to climb all the time.
Yeah, true. She does.
You think about the history of world sport, this is bigger than cycling. Like, you know, we talk about Michael Jordan when he had the flu, and he had the flu or he had a cold. You know, we're talking about a broken
sniffle.
This moves into the realms of Matty Heyman when he won Paris-Roubaix, Robbie when he won that amazing stage in the Canterbury after crashing, you know, 20K out. Those special moments.
You went in the Tour of Tassie when you were a few kilos overweight that time. Yeah.
If you look on the side of the
exactly. Yep.
Yeah. Will Wizard, he says, Wollongong looks a great town, but their car drivers are copying a lot of flack in the Belgian press about their attitudes towards cyclists. Have you heard any whispers on the ground?
Yeah, that was me. I ran over a couple of Belgians, but it was accidental, I promise. Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard any stories directly about that, but I can back the Wizard up with you know, the fact that, you know, we lived in Europe for a long time, and I spent a decade over there, and I notice how bad the Aussie drivers are. There's a real lack of tolerance in Australia towards other road users in general. You know, there's a fair amount of road rage, whether you're in another car merging or not indicating or whatever. Yeah. But on the bike, definitely, you know, I see a real lack of tolerance in Australia, which has upset me. I've said this in the past. I've told you, Dan, I rode on the streets of Mumbai once, and at first I thought, this is going to be a bit sketchy, because it's truly nuts when you see how many vehicles are on the roads. And once I got out there, and, you know, you've just got to be confident and put your hand out and move across lanes, I felt safer riding in Mumbai than I do riding through the streets of Melbourne. Because there was no one in Mumbai that cared. You know, if you're a car, a truck, a cyclist, a goat, a cow. The goat, yeah. It doesn't matter what's on the road in front of you. They're patient and they're not angry. You're there, okay. But we're here, there's this self-righteousness that someone, you know, people in cars have more rights than everybody else on the road.
Mm. Definitely,
but Wollongong is becoming a real cycling city. I mean, they have the Sydney to Gong ride each year, so they are used to a lot of cycling.
Specialized bike lanes are everywhere as well.
All of that, and it's the only UCI recognized city in Australia. So, yeah, it's pretty special. So hopefully that was just a couple of clowns.
Tony McIntosh says she's an absolute freak, and Will Wizard again says Belgian Dirk de Wolf has questioned Van Vleuten's elbow on Belgian TV show. Old Dirk reckons.
Yeah, the Belgians and the Dutch have always had a little bit of, you know, clash. So, yeah.
Yeah, but just and who finished second? A Belgie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, let's have a look at the results again, because at one point there I thought, geez, Alex Manley's upski. You know, protected rider, could have come back for a bit of a sprint. If I thought, you know, Fisher Black from an Anzac's perspective. She had another great ride, but
She won the under 23. Yeah, fantastic ride. Yeah.
But I mean, obviously we're a bit biased, but from an Aussie perspective, if you had your time again, what could have you done different, Johnny?
I don't think he could have done much different because, you know, when you just, they had a plan, they put in a place, they had up the road, they did everything right. In the end, none of them were just climbing well enough. It was just, I think you mentioned on air, just that 1% off. So they rode a smart race. They gave it a go. You'd be disappointed if they just sat in there and struggled and got dropped.
Yeah.
But no, they came. They had a plan. They went off the front. You know, slightly different. The attacks gets caught earlier with a little bit more stalling. Yeah, and Alex might have been able to get up there and, you know, put her in the finish there and she's a chance.
Look, she's had a standout season this year. She won Touring and Rundfahrt and stage in the Scandinavia Tour. So she really has stepped up as a roadie. You know, in another couple of years, put her in the same situation as she was today. And she's in that front group sprinting for the medals. Yeah. So, look, good ride by her. I guess it was Grace Brown. She had fantastic time trial form, obviously, finishing second on the first day, but that didn't quite translate to great road race form, and she just didn't quite have it on the hills today. So unfortunate, because we really thought Grace could go with those leaders.
Yeah. In other news, Johnny, I couldn't get the video, but there was a junior male rider that grabbed a sausage from on the side of the road. Classic Australian.
Isn't that classic? Yeah. So it was actually, I was talking to to Tanya, the deputy mayor. It was her, I think it was her brother's property on the climb. So they'd shot it themselves. So yeah, they were having the barbie, they're hanging it out. He grabbed it and shot into it. He didn't just grab it and throw it away. He had a good ate half the snag.
It's like road gnats.
Fantastic.
Now, bunny on road gnats, grab the snag out of the barbie.
I can remember a couple of times in racing in commissions in Belgium on a hot day, someone hold a beer out and grab a beer and half a stubby.
Your swan, yeah. Hold that. Dan
showed me that, you know, when you started, Dan, you spoke about the little tiff you guys had in the last podcast. So I saw that. I thought it was quite funny. And that's why I've been brought in and I'm standing in between these two.
Referee.
So virtually separate them.
No, we're on different floors, mate, different levels. We could put us together.
Definitely on different levels.
The hotel said, no, we don't want you two together.
All right, let's have a drinks break and let's come up with more stuff we can butt heads on. So stay tuned for the Detour Punch On, folks. Plenty more to come.
Look at this bike. You think it's just a bike, right? But it's not. It's a bike. 374 people are looking at. This guy, this girl, them. All looking at it. People from here, there, and wherever this is. People that are looking for a bike. Or just a piece of it. Amateurs. Semi-amateurs. And pro-amateurs. This guy wants this bike, but with this crank. And these bars. This could be the perfect match, but not this one. This girl has a bike to sell, and thousands of people might purchase it. Eyes on Bikes help grow small businesses. His, hers, yours, and the latest data and insights help those businesses keep moving. We are the world's number one bike marketplace, with over 500,000 products and 900 brands, where buyers and sellers are brought together in a place where a bike is never just a bike. Bike Exchange, where the world buys, sells, learns, and rides.
Thanks again to our great mates at Bike Exchange. Johnny, I'll let you do the spill this time.
One of the best ways, not one of, the best way in the world to buy a bike. Jump on a Bike Exchange somewhere, whether it's a mountain bike, a road bike, a track bike, an e-bike, great special on gravel bikes at the moment, or any part of a bike or kit. Bikeexchange.com.au and they'll look after you.
And I'll tell you another company we need to plug, Sage Hotels here in Wollongong. Get on to nexthotels.com/sage/Wollongong. They've been fantastic. If he added the ribs last night, magnificent. Washed down with an ice cold beer. Only had a couple because I'm a little bit more professional.
Wonderful team. Yeah. So, I might have a couple more than that, but they are great. And we have our fantastic Chasing Rainbows exhibition with Miguel Soro in the hotel. So anyone who's watching this and hanging around in Wollongong, come in tomorrow and come and have a look, because it is amazing.
Fantastic, yeah. And Full Gas, what were they doing? We've already missed it. I think they were doing something on
Friday.
We were
going to promote it last night, but the show that you didn't make, we couldn't really show
My fault.
Yeah, of course.
Mate, what were you doing? You weren't at the hotel with your laptop open.
No, I was driving with a phone ready to do it. If you could have
got that would have been good quality.
You missed the train, you caught the plane, missed the train, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, there is a big bike race tomorrow, fellas. That's obviously the elite men. It's going to be a monster day. The weather's looking better.
We've got a lot to talk about that, but we haven't given the junior girls any time at all. We mentioned, Baxter. It was a good race. It was a brilliant bike race. And she is, what a superstar. She won the time trial by a record amount,
I think. Minute and a half.
And then she just rides away on the descent. Here, well, it was a 40K to go or something.
The race was 67, and she spent 57 off the front.
how good. And we're going to get Maggie on. He said he would be on maybe tomorrow.
There's the result.
There it is. Yeah, 2:07. Wow. You know, that says everything. And they couldn't do anything about it. They knew they were racing for second. That's how good she is. Mm.
Well, the Aussies said that. They interviewed the Aussies and they said, oh, look, we all knew that if Zoe attacks, then we probably won't be able to, no one will be able to follow her. And then they saw her attack and, yep, exactly that. So it's like the old stories you heard of Eddie Merckx, you know, saying to people like, oh, I must leave you now, guys. Like, yeah, whatever. Off he goes. Okay. She's going to be amazing. She truly, you know, Paris-Roubaix, you know, Flanders, all these things in the future. Watch out. Zoe Backstead's exceptional.
Surely Jerry's got her on the radar and gets her across to, or tries to get her to JK Bike Exchange or...
She's at EF. They've already contracted to EF Education. Yeah, so they got her early. Yeah.
Throwing a JK.
Hey, yeah. Well, the interesting thing is... we had her father, Magnus Backstead, on the broadcast during the under-19 time trial that she won. And he said that she was really looking forward to doing the under-19s road race, but then actually just finishing this week because cyclocross season is coming up really soon and she's really keen to get into the cyclocross because that's her true passion. That's her real passion is cyclocross. So she just wants to get these world championships out of the way.
Mm.
So what about Marianne Vos, Mathieu van der Poel, these are the riders that have come through cyclocross. Tom Pidcock, and that's the skills that she's showing as well because her bike handling ability is amazing. She's Madison World Champion in the under-19s as well.
Mm. She's going to have a phenomenal future ahead and what great pedigree, you just pick the brain of the old man and that's it. Where you go.
Yep. As I said, so, I'm Cupid to put it all together, but that's another story. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Anything else you want to add from the...
No, I just thought fantastic bike race, and they just deserved a bit of time there.
True. And I just had a message from Mario Van Baal, who's Dylan Van Baal's dad, who's in the, you know, obviously in the elite men's race tomorrow, sorry. And I just put up a post from today on Facebook and Instagram, and he said, you have seen an amazing race today. I hope tomorrow's race will be the same. Now, his son's racing tomorrow.
And there's a chance.
They are all talking about how fantastic that race was from Annemiek.
Yeah.
And with Mathieu van der Poel, if he's back to his normal form, not what we saw at the Tour de France, he'll be someone that's inspired by Annemiek's performance today.
Yeah.
100%. So, elite men. Now, one thing we didn't talk about is... and we should have leading up to the race, is Lawson Craddock, Iffy. What an absolute balls up that was with the visa situation.
Just showing that what happens in that, the left hand not talking to the right hand. Yeah.
Why didn't the Australian government target the hitters like, you know, Evander Pohl and...
Wout van Aert, sorry.
Wout van Aert, why didn't they come up with visa problems for them?
It would have had to be the six. There's so many in contention here. We would have had to six or seven visa issues, I think.
International incident.
Yeah. I felt for Lawson Craddock. It was a terrible story. It's the last week of the Vuelta, and you know, it's an American who rides for Jerry's Bike Exchange Jago team. But on the Friday morning, he says to me, oh, they tell me I should talk to you, Iffy. I've got some trouble with my visa. They come back and knock it back.
This is why I didn't get in. Iffy will sort it. And then he goes, oh, John, where am I at with that visa? And you go, oh, shit. Sorry, mate. That was fun.
No, no. So I sent an email straight away to Stuart, who's running this whole show. He's in charge. And he was great. He jumped on to the right. It was a Friday night here. So that was a challenge. Everyone's gone home. So they hurried it up. And he was flying out Monday morning. And his visa, his corrected visa came through 20 minutes after the plane took off.
But why was there an issue in the first place?
Who would know? Just some little thing. So you'd think for world championships, if it's done something wrong, whether he did something wrong in the filling out of it, or it was something where they just said no, rather than go back and say, oh, look, can you just fix this? That was the problem.
Yeah. Jesus, straight government. We've got form now, don't we?
Djokovic. I thought you were going to suggest an Indonesian island and a boat or something, and try and bring him back to the back road. He'll end up on Christmas Island.
Look, he could have left the next day, and maybe he said, but look, it was all too hard. He was worried about the whole jet lag stuff and everything anyway. And another day later, which is a real shame, because he was a medal chance in the
he would have won it. Time trial. He would have won it.
Yeah.
He would have gone all right. He would have gone all
right. Yeah. Well. Who's your tip for tomorrow, boys? Obviously, Michael Matthews has put his hand up and said that, you know, he's dreaming about it every day. You feel the pressure building, Bling. And I saw him at the front of the hotel last night and just said, mate, just enjoy yourself. You know, former pro myself. Like, I get pressure and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I understand. That's
great. I do.
Understand.
No, he does.
But I think when you show your cards and how much you want it so early, you know, if there's a break that goes away, I mean, they're going to be looking to the Aussies to go, well, you desperately want to win this thing. For me, I'd be just putting it all back on, you know, the French and the Belgians and the Dutchies, and just saying, look, you know, yeah, we want to do a good result, but we're not the favourites. They're the teams that I'm
who's actually DS in the car tomorrow?
I think it's Zach.
Yeah, I think we should be Dan should be with him. They get on well. I reckon we should be Dan in the car.
Well, we'll see how the results go this year. If there's a full Oz Cycling review, I'll put my hand up. I'll just say, mate, I don't want to waste my time. I'm a busy man. I'll come in just for the Worlds. That'll be my shtick.
Fly in.
I'll win you the bands next year. You want the bands? Me and Demis, I'll get them for you.
But what you're saying is valid, absolutely. You know, why put the pressure on yourself by saying these things in them? And you don't want to talk it down. You're like, oh, well, look, you know, whatever.
Every hand's a different.
It's a home world. I would love to do well here. I won the under-23s the last time at a home world championships. However, you know, look at the performances, look at the depth of the Dutch, the Belgians, the French, the Italians. You know, really, they are the nations that have more pressure on us than this. You know, what you said.
Fred Wright, he's due. I've been
even
looking
with
Fred
Bernard, he's probably been the favourite for a while. He said, yeah, no, we're fine, but we have two plans. So they've got, the Belgians actually have got probably the best double-edged plan of all teams. Of all the countries, they're the only ones with two true winners. You know, guys who can win it. Evenepoel and Wout van Aert. They can play the double whammy game. And I can foresee Evenepoel going the long range. I reckon he'll go early.
Do you know, he in the press conference the other day, he said that was put up after last year's Worlds, where there was the conflict. And then immediately, because of the time trial result where he didn't get to win, you think, maybe he still wants to win the road race. This could cause an issue. He said in the press conference that, look, you know what? It's like a marriage. You know, you sign the contract. It's a marriage. And immediately I thought, it's about 60% of marriages fail, don't they? So that's not a good analogy. So there could be fireworks with the Belgians.
I'm an expert on marriage and bikes, so I've got plenty to say on both parts. But before we go into all of the stars, because there's plenty there, I reckon tomorrow's race will be a absolute ripper. I can't see it being a boring race in any way. They're worried about Bling, so the pressure will be going on. And he's definitely a big chance. But there's a few very good outsiders too. So you've got Vanderpoel, who's in fantastic form, actually. So he's going to be a big chance. And as you say, inspired by the Dutch today. Vanderpoel, Wout van Aert, Bling, Alaphilippe, you know, 1-2. But then you got those outsiders. When I say the Dutch only have one with Vanderpoel, they've got Dylan van Baarle is probably another, you know, he's a bloody good bike rider. He's, if his form is good, he gets up a hill okay. He did win the Hill Sun Tour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alaphilippe is an interesting one because of his he hasn't ridden a Grand Tour this year, so he hasn't got he's had injuries. He's obviously going well enough because he wouldn't be here, but without a Grand Tour in your legs, will he have that bit at the end? I mean, he's going for three in a trot, trying to match Sagan. Sagan's name keeps popping up too. I don't think he
will no chance.
No. I would say he deserves more respect than
he won't finish. I don't reckon he'll finish it. There you go. He won't. He'll pull out with two laps to go.
Okay.
Yep. You heard it here first.
Yeah, we're slightly stunned by that. They are the big names, aren't they? Yeah. Now, the other one. Not that he's a big shot for it, but pretty happy for Simon Clark. You know, he was Cadell's right-hand man when he won the world championships, and now he's here again. And it'll be, Michael Matthews' right-hand man as well. Wouldn't that be incredible for someone like Simon to be involved in two Australian world championship victories? Close contact. That'd be great.
We have got a very, very good team. You know, you mentioned Clark, who's a great captain. Heinrich Hausler, who people think, I heard someone say, well, why would Heinrich be here near the end of his career? Well, he actually rides these type of courses very well. And, you know, I reckon he will be road captain of tomorrow. So, but then you got the big hitters. You got, you know, with Jai Hindley, Ben O'Connor. Yeah. You know, these are serious, you know, road riders. When it gets to the end of this bike race and Bling needs some help. But the beauty of it for Australia, more so than some other years, is they're all in for Bling. Yeah. There'll be no situations like where Cadell's earpiece didn't work that year when he won. They haven't got earpieces now anyway, but it didn't work. And I hear the problem with his earpiece was actually he forgot to put it in. But that's another story.
It didn't fall out at all. Just didn't go in. Well, Simon Gerrans and Michael Matthews, you know, at World Championships, Robbie McEwen, Stuart O'Grady. You know, we have had these issues before where we've had guys that, wanted to be in for themselves. And that's not the case. You're right, John.
Yeah.
And when I take over the reins next year, that won't happen on my watch. Now, another Aussie connection is Daniel Bonello, who's riding for Malta Scooter.
He is. I haven't looked at the full start list. Is Alex Smythe on that start list as well for Malta or not? Because he rode the time trial. Have a look. Okay, so he rode the time trial. So I've so Smythe's been around the VIS riders back in the day, and obviously Dan Bonello
part time in a bike shop that I was working back in years back.
Very Maltese, absolutely. Same with Dan, but yeah, mother's heritage, mother's side, I think, for both of them. And a special the time trial, because Dan was the first rider off in the time trial. So when he crossed the line, obviously he's leading, and he slammed the brakes on, turned around, jumped the fence, went up under the hot seat so he could just have the next 27 seconds until the next rider came through and took over the lead. So he's got photos of himself in the hot seat. Good on you, Dan.
Well, I love looking at the countries that have only got like, you know, one starter or two starters, you know, the true underdogs of the worlds. Now, I saw a country, I was looking at with Mitch today, and it was Holy See. And we're like, Holy See, what? I've never heard of that country before. It's Vatican City.
The Vatican,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they got one rider.
First time ever.
What's his name?
Yeah, first time ever, because they are we're not gonna go into religion, but anyway, he's here. He had some issues in training because he's got his robe got stuck in his cassette in his chain the other day.
Yeah.
No, he was lucky though. He punched it, but it just sealed itself.
It sealed itself. Oh, exactly.
I think it's that new sealant they have in the
no, world. No, it wasn't that. It was completely tubular. He just forgot
holy water bottles.
Yeah.
We should take the pun. Yeah.
Well, maybe the Vatican City could apply for Worlds, and they could ask you to design another course, another hot dog circuit.
Yeah, well, I've done a little tour of the Vatican, so there's a hill, definitely a hill there. So we're looking at.
Do you know that the before he says it, I'll get in the Bay Classic series was on the broadcast today.
Really?
Yes. It got mentioned by Phil Liggett and myself in the broadcast because Phil Liggett, Phil phoned in from a video call from he's on a. Steam train weekend. He's traveling on steam trains this weekend in the Midlands, and it got mentioned that Phil's coming out obviously over summer, and the Bay Crits were mentioned.
They're going to be huge.
They are the biggest things ever.
Bigger than ever. And two of our biggest riders in the world have said that they're going to be like no names in Pactor at this stage.
Dan Bonello and Alex Smythe from Malta.
There you go. Yeah. But
the first representative from Holy See.
Why not?
All right, who's your tips? Will Wizard, he's going for Benoit Cosnefroy outsider for road race. Well, he's got good
form. Yeah, he wasn't coming at all until he performed so well in Canada, and that was a very impressive win, actually. Yeah. He beat the one Bling ran second, which was very impressive second place. But, yeah, he wasn't coming. He decided, well, if I've got this sort of form, and he, I'm putting him into the long range. But
how far can you go down on, so if it was an impressive win and it was an impressive second, like if you go down that list, was it an impressive 15th place?
Could have been.
Impressive 37th place for Joe Vlogs. Yeah.
Well, it was impressive second because he beat Wout van Aert, Bling out sprinted Wout van Aert. So that makes it impressive to me.
Yeah.
And they just didn't call the breakaway back. But your mate, Dan.
Fred Wright.
This is a course that he'll go well. English girl actually got some good young Hayter.
They've got some great talent.
Some great talent in there. So there's.
He's due a win.
Yes, he's Hayter to be ran second again. But I think we're in
Pogacar, one hell of a bike race. Pogacar hasn't got the depth with his team.
He'll be up.
Yep. Oh, I can't believe I haven't met. No, I think the Pog, I didn't have. I was almost going to tip him because his form in Canada was amazing.
Mm. Yeah, he beat Wout van Aert in a sprint too.
He beat Wout and blew everyone else away as well. So he has got the form to win here. Pogacar, gee, fancy for not bringing him in the top, but he's one of the top three. But I'm going to go for Bling. I'm all in for Bling.
Yeah. Will Wizard, Vatican Riders, Dutch, but married to an Aussie, works in the Vatican, which is registered to the UCI.
Aussie sounds double Dutch to me, but anyway, it's all good.
Mm. Oh, Sam Bewley, All Blacks won in the Bledisloe Cup. Thanks for that, Bills.
Thanks, Bills. And Geelong killed the Cats.
Shouldn't have won the Bledisloe Cup. Did you guys talk about that after the first game?
No, we've robbed.
Oh, yeah. Stolen, absolutely stolen.
Anyway, we're not going to bore on football.
Nah. I think we're ready for dinner, boys. YouTube.com/the Detour Podcast. It's going to be a big day for the road race. Who's your tip, Scooter?
Look, it's really hard to go past Wout van Aert. I'm not going to give you a whole bunch of names. We've gone through them all, but clearly I want Michael Matthews or any of the Aussies, but Michael Matthews to get the win. But, Wout's just incredible. He can do everything.
All right, I'll put in a smoke. Binium Gamay, I think... Imagine that reaction in Eritrea.
He was on my list, fourth one down. I forgot to mention him. He's on my list. And you're dead right. I met one of his sports directors today. I was in.
You got a team of six, Eritrea.
Yeah. So I was with. His team sports director. I was in with Jason in the SRAM. Just walked by and called him for. Quick one, and a lovely guy, and he reckons Gourmet is on form.
Really? Chance, yeah. Eritrea at the World Championships in 2010, Geelong had one rider. Now they've got six. So look at the progression that they've had. That's amazing. Yeah. And that was Daniel Tekelhamamot.
Yeah, great.
Who went on to get the KOM jersey at the Tour de France. So. Pretty cool.
How's
that for progression from an African nation?
So. Yeah, no.
I remember a great story with Dan before we go. Like when he first came out to Green Edge, we had our first camp and he was talking to Shane Bannon on the phone and he said to Shane, well, what do you want me to bring for the camp? And Bannon said, mate, we've got it all sorted. And he came through the UCI program. So he said, all right, sweet. They got everything sorted. Gets off his plane and he picks him up at the airport and he said, all right, mate, we'll just wait around for your bags. He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, well, your bags, you come from home. And he goes, yeah, but you said you'd have everything sorted. He goes, what'd you bring? And I think he had a toothbrush in his pocket. And then they decked him out with the bike and the kit and everything.
And he came to Australia, and Jerry's, they were going to put him in at the Prince Hotel, and Jerry said, I don't think he really wants to stay there. So
Langy.
We put him in with Langy for a week.
Did
you? Oh, yeah. That stretched the friendship.
Christmas with Langy, didn't he?
Christmas with Langy. He called the rabbit stew. Wouldn't eat rabbit. He had very, very different religious ground. Wouldn't eat rabbit. But anyway.
And he was a great guy, and he still is. So. All right. Well, big day tomorrow, lads. So get your sleep. Need your cherry ripe. And, it should be a great Worlds. But as you said, going on the races so far, a bit of pressure on the boys to make it a cracker. Hopefully it's better than the AFL Grand Final. That was
was terrible, wasn't it? Yeah. Yep. Actually, I just remember, I know where I met the his team manager. It was when I was swanning into the UCI tent. There we go. And I was with Valentino.
The great thing about the AFL Grand Final today? Collingwood weren't there.
Neither were Carlton.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Neither Carlton. Carlton were. Yeah. Collingwood missed out by 1 point last week. That was
great. Let's not talk about Hawthorn.
As a coach? Oh, no, he's in trouble.
He's not with us anymore. All good. Euros are thinking, what the hell are they talking about? All right, see you tomorrow, guys. Cheers.
All right.
Bye.